Morning, everybody. We had a little minor technical crisis over here, but with my assistant's help, we took care of it. Dr. Gurman is back. We missed him. Is he taking a picture of this? He has a new angle someplace in the States. But all right. The parasha is Parashas Pekudei. Parashas Pekudei. We've been dealing with the Mishkan, Parshat Truma, Parshat Tzaveh, part of Kitisa, all of Vayakhel, and now all of Pekudei again is going to be Mishkan. And what it's going to begin with is an accounting. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to account for every shekel that was donated to the Mishkan. And there's going to be a problem with this accounting. There's going to be a real crisis that's going to develop. Because out of the millions of billions of shekels that were donated to the Mishkan, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down to the bottom line of his accounting, he cannot account for 1,000... How many is it? 1,750? Where is it? Where's this passage? Pekudei. Wait a minute, Pekudei. Let me find. I don't have the psukim in the. Ela Pekudei Amishkan. This is the accounting of the Mishkan. I'm reading. I'm reading from the Chumash. We haven't started with the. And this is. His accounting. Okay. There were 1,775 shekelim that he could not account for. Now, I most probably can't even figure out how small 1,775 shekelim is from the hundreds of millions of billions of shekels that were used. It was a pitiful, puny, I mean some other words, totally
insignificant,
that's the word, totally insignificant sum, like putting up some ancient putting up the Empire State Building. Okay, that dates me already. And worried about the kind of money that a staple. But he, Moshe Rabbeinu was very troubled. Let's read the Medrash, and the Medrash is so real and of such, I mean, eternal importance. That first medrash, don't get scared about it. It's not so difficult. Shanella, all right. The middle of the sentence. Amar Moshe. Moshe said, number one. Amar Moshe. Moshe said, Yodei ani, I know she Yisrael rognim hem. Jews are complainers. Hareini oselahem cheshbin mikol melechat hamishkan. I'm going to make an accounting for them. What do they call it? You know, transparency. Everything is open. Let the whole world know exactly what happened. I know. He says, I know these Jews. They're complainers. They're going to find fault. Who knows? Hitchil lasot cheshbon imoy. He started making an accounting. Ela pekudei mishkan. That's the accounting. This parasha. These are the numbers of the mishkan. He gave them an accounting for each and everything. For the gold, the silver, the copper, and kesef pekudei ha'edan, and the silver that was the community gave, me'o kikar, it was 100 kikar of, I don't know what that means, 100 kilo or 100, who knows what, a large sum of gold, and elef u'shvameos, and another 1,700, He's giving them an accounting of the gold, the silver, the copper. As he's making the accounting for Holich, and he keeps going, kol dover v'dover, and each and everything shall suyin, kaseder b'toch ha-mishkan, in order, he goes through every part of the Mishkan, and he gives them an accounting. Shachach. He forgot 1,775. But what's fascinating about it is, later the Medrash is going to make it more dramatic, so we'll make it dramatic right now. That Moshe Rabbeinu, oy, now Klal Yisrael are going to have a justified complaint. What happened to 1,775. I said 1775 before. I was thinking of 1776. Anybody know what 1776 is? Atzmaut of America. Yeah. 1775. And Moshe was terribly troubled by it. He wants to account for every last penny. In any accounting, it would mean nothing. I'm not even sure whether Mas Hakhosah in this country will go after him. Not sure. Maybe they might. Okay? At the Medrash later was going to say, At Sheheir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einov, until God lightened up his eyes and he saw, shucks, he had forgotten there was 1775 hukalach, the hooks that held up the curtains that made the Mishkan. By the way, without the hooks, there wouldn't be a Mishkan. But you know what the hooks were? And this we talked about, I think, 20 years ago. They were little hukalach. But those little hooks, they were fundamental to the whole Mishkan, and he forgot it. And when we talked about it about 20 years ago, so there the idea of the Shia was, never make the mistake of thinking that small things are insignificant. Yiddishkeit is not just Shabbos, no? Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, that's it. There are so many little things, and the totality of all of those little things make up the Jewish personality. And you have to be careful about the little things. Here, what?
The Pachim
Ketanim,
like
the Yaakov. The Pachim Ketanim of Yaakov. Oh, that's fine. Okay. We're talking about the hooks. The little hooks that he forgot. Let's continue. Shachach, he forgot. He forgot the 1775 she'osamehen that he had made vovin la'amudim. Vovin are the hooks. You didn't see them. Because they were behind the curtains. But they're holding up the whole Mishkan. Hitchil ome tameh v'ome, he stood there and he was overwhelmed with a problem. Achshav yimtzu yedeim shel Yisroel alai loma, now the Jews are going to find an opportunity to say about me, shani natalti otam, that I took those shkolim, I took those paper clips, that's what they are. In comparison to the whole Mishkan, we're talking about paper clips. Who chozer lavar kol melacho u'melachos. You know what he did? He went over everything again. He went over every item in that long list. He went over everything. Miyad heir hakadosh baruch hu es einav. God lightened up his eyes. Betola einav. He lifted up his eyes, and you know what he saw? They were the hooks that held everything up. Hipchil l'hoshiv lehem v'kol ram. So then, Moshe, full of confidence now, he was able to account for every last shekel. Hipchil l'hoshiv lehem v'kol ram. Ve'et ha'elef, this is the pasuk, and the 1,000 shvameot v'chamishim v'shivim osa vavim l'amudim. That's the pasuk. With great pride, he has described hundreds of millions of shekel or more. And then, you know, it's like somebody, saying, you know, I built the new World Trade Center. You understand? And then he says, you know what? I'm trying to think of something small. You understand? Something very small. Everything is big over there. Something small. I also put in a doorstop. A doorstop. So here it is, festive. He's made the cheshbon of everything. You know, you don't even notice it when you say the psukim. It's such an insignificant part. It's comical when you read the psukim and you understand how small and insignificant 1775. So insignificant, so small. It's approaching absolute meaninglessness. And there the Pasuk festively says, wow, and the 1775, he made a chedron for that too. You have to look, you know, sometimes you can read a psukim a 1,000 times and you don't get what's going on over there. So Yischel, L'hoshev l'mekorah, the 1775 are the hooks. Those are shown at Paisu Yitzchol. At that time, the Jewish people were appeased. Mi goram lo, what caused that they should be appeased and feel good taught him, because he sat down, he was open, he was honest, and he made the accounting. Ela pekudei ha-mishkan. This is, if there would be openness and transparency with all of the, who knows, all of our shlugan leftist organizations over there, And you know what? And some of the right ones too. Where there would be an openness, where does the money come from? Where does the money go to? God, time and time again, you find all sorts of terrible scandals, and there are a few of them that we're in the midst of right now. I can't even mention the names. You know it. It's in the paper. Here there's money missing. There there's money missing. People who raise money for all sorts of good causes and they never get to the good causes. It's a shaman acharp, it's a busha. And here Moshe Rabbeinu sets an example for all time. Holy money given by holy Jews for a holy purpose, you have to make a holy accounting. And the word holy accounting can be spelled two ways. H-O or W-H-O, etc. A total accounting of everything. Why did he make the accounting? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamino. God trusts him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, b'chol beisi ne'eman, whom God says, in my whole house, he's most trustworthy of all. Moshe matam cheshbon, and Moshe made an accounting. God trusts him. Elon if Nesha Shama, listen to this. Because he heard Leitzonei Hador, the jokers of the generation. You know, some jokes are so cutting and so biting and so ugly. And these fellows think it's a joke. I'll tell you in a moment, the last time we had the term Leitzonei Hador, the jokers of the generation. Moshe had heard the Leitzonei Hador, Shahu Mesichin Akrov, that were talking behind his back. Shenema Bahoya, and it came to pass, Ketseis Moshe, V'hibitu Acharei Moshe, as Moshe went out of the camp, they looked after him. And the Medrash seems to learn they're looking after him. They're looking to get him. They're looking to find something on him. Umar hayu omrim? What did they say? They said good things about him. V'chaveiro meshivim, in other words, one person said, boy, that's Moshe. Holy, 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 holy. And his friend would respond, Leka, you nothing. What are you talking about? He's great. Adam shenisman al malechas ha-mishkan, a man who was appointed to be in charge of the construction of the Mishkan, al tikrei kesef, al tikrei zahav, she'in l'mcheke, an infinite amount of gold and silver, v'lo mishkal, v'lo minyan, nobody weighed anything, nobody counted anything, matarat, so what do you want? Shalom yi'ashe, he shouldn't be rich. You think nothing stuck to his fingers? What are you talking about? Marashkai, don't tell me great things about him. Of course. There's another medrash where it says, take a look at him. He has a nice ruddy complexion. He's looking good. What do you mean he's looking good? Of course he's looking good. He's living off the fat of the land. What are you talking about? He's in charge of all this money. He shouldn't look good. Because Shoshana came, when Moshe heard this, Amar, he said, Chayechem, I swear. Because Shenigimino Melechas HaMishkan, when the work of the Mishkan will be completed, Ani Noten Lechem Cheshbon, I'm going to give you an accounting. Kivon Shenigimino, when it was finished, Amar Lehem, Eile, Pekudei HaMishkan. This is the accounting of the Mishkan. There's something very sad about this. But you know what else? There's something very real about it. There are always going to be those that are going to find fault. And there are always those who are going to suspect. Kessel, he's sitting by the pile of money. It's like nothing's going to rub off. Of course nothing's going to rub off. Moshe Rabbeinu, whole parasha, to tell us how open and how honest one must be and make it clear to all of Israel. And the fact is that what this brings us to is to an extremely, extremely important issue in all of the structure of the Jewish personality. We're going to see there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We're going to get to it. Have you done et kol ha'adam lekaf sichut? You have to be able to judge everybody justly. When you see somebody who's done something, it can be interpreted in a positive way. It can be interpreted in a negative way. Our responsibility is to look at it in a positive way. Watch. Let's go to number two. We're going to build up this whole idea of how you Jews are supposed to look at one another. Watch. Morning Shkola, Omer of a Tanchua, the Me'abroch, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'Shem Reb Yonatan, but Torah u'b'nevim u'b'ktuvim, in Torah, in prophets, and in the writings, Motzonu, we find Sha'odon tzorich latzeit yidei habriyot kederek shu tzorich latzeit yidei hamakom. A person has to be yotzer, make sure that he's okay before men, just as he is before God. Because you know, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said to himself, listen, I'm going to stop worrying about what every guy is going to think. So let him think that. I know that it's okay. Let him think that. No. The Gemara says you have to make sure, just like your Yetzer, the Rebbeinu knows that you're okay, you have to make sure that people know that you're okay. And you're not permitted to leave open the possibility that they should suspect you of doing the wrong thing. And we find it in Torah, in Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. And the Gemara says, "B'Torah minay." Where does it say it in Torah? Dichtiv. This is a pasuk on which a tremendous amount of halachas in Shulchan Aruch you cannot imagine. The number of halachot in Shulchan Aruch that are based on these few words. V'hiyitem nikiyim me'Hashem u'miYisrael. You have to be clean. You have to be pure in the eyes of God and Israel. And I'm really afraid to express the background for this pasuk, but you know, maybe I shouldn't be afraid. It's a pasuk in Torah. It's at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The tribes of Reuben and Gad come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, "Don't take us across the Yarden. Don't cross. We don't cross the Jordan. We have cattle and sheep, and this land on the other side of the Jordan is grazing land." No place in Torah does Moshe explode into a paroxysm of anger as he does then. I'm just going to say it. Don't try and say that I'm making any kind of a political statement. God forbid. God forfend. Heavens. No. And he attacks in the most vicious way. And the ultimate, the last great attack is, Ha'achechem yavol la'mulchomo, your brothers are going to go out to fight, v'atem teshvu po, and you're going to sit here? That's what you're saying? They say, no, you know, we're going to go. We're going to cross the Yarden. We're going to be part of the army of Israel. And we are going to fight side by side with our brothers. And after the war is over, we're going to return home to the other side of the Yarden. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, V'yitem nikiyim me'Hashem u'miYisrael. You have to be pure in the eyes of God and of Israel. Don't ask me what comment this pasuk has to make about the present crisis in this country. I have Haredi grandchildren and I want to maintain a relationship with them, and I'm scared still. I'm not scared, so scared. The problem is far, far deeper than will appear from the newspapers, but I'm learning Torah. I'm learning Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, V'yitem nikiyim me'Hashem u'miYisrael. A person has to make sure that he's clean and he's pure, and no place for suspicion, both in the eyes of God and man. And it may mean sometimes that you have to go out of your way to make sure that what you've done or what you're doing is pure. You can't fall back and say, you know, I don't have to. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. No such thing. Doesn't work. Benevim. Where does this Benevim inayin? Where do we find this idea in the prophets? The Ktiv. Kael Elokim Hashem. V'Yisrael Hu Yeda. This is at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. When B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain are going back to the other side of the Jordan. At the Jordan, they erect a great monument, and there is suspicion in all of Israel that they are building some kind of an idol, and all of Israel prepares to go to war against the sons of God and Reuven. And then they say, no, there's negotiations, they talk. Best thing is to talk. And they explain, no, we're afraid that some generations down the line, your children are going to tell our children that, you know, you're not part of us, you're living on the other side of the Jordan. We're putting up this monument as an indication that we are all one people. Jewish people heard that, crisis was ended. So what did they say? Kael Elokim, V'Yisrael Hu Yeda. Israel has to know that we don't mean anything wrong by what we are doing. You have to be yotze for yidden. How do you like that? And then, where does it say it in the Ksufim of the Holy Writings? A pasuk in Mishlei. Umitzochein v'seichel tov b'enei Elokim v'adam. You should find favor in the eyes of God and man. You can't simply say, you know, I know what I'm doing is right, and I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care what anybody else thinks. They may make a mistake. They may suspect me of something. No. Can't get away with that. Can't get away with that. There are a number of classic examples of this in Tanakh. And there are two sides to this coin. One side to the coin is, I have to make sure that no one suspects me of having done something wrong. But wait a minute, there's another side. The other side is, the other fella has no right to suspect me. You're not allowed to suspect a Jew of having done something wrong. We're going to see a number of Gemaras. Hachoshei b'tshehim. If you suspect somebody was a foreign man, you suspect him of having done something wrong, lo kebigufo, will be punished physically. And the first place where it appears in Torah, let's go to number four. God is speaking to Moshe at the snare. And one of the signs that he tells Moshe when you come to Egypt and you want to prove to them that God spoke to you, he tells Moshe, put your hand into your coat. Now take it out. His hand comes out and it's full of leprosy. And then God said, put your hand back, and the leprosy is gone. Why did God do this? What kind of sign is this? The Gemara says, you know what the sign is? Moshe Rabbeinu had cast aspersions on the Jewish people. He suspected them. What did he suspect them of? As he's standing at the stand, God tells him, go to Egypt and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. So Moshe says, Hein lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu b'kolin, they're not going to listen to my voice. So the Rabbeinu seems to be telling him, what are you talking about? The Medrash says, they don't believe. They're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. The Jewish people are believers, the sons of believers. And the end is, God tells Moshe, there's going to come a moment where you're not going to be trustworthy. And that's later when he hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock in the middle of Sefer Bamidbar. Yam lo he'eman tempi. You didn't believe in me. I told you to speak to the rock, speak to the rock. So, we'll see, take a look at number four. Vayovei yado b'cheko, he put his hand into his coat. Vayotzi or, and he took it out, that's the pasuk. V'hinei, behold, yado mitzorat kasholei. His hand is full of leprosy. It looks like snow. V'lo kachetz, he got his punishment al shehilshin, that he spoke evil of the Jewish people. He said they're not going to believe. Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi Ona. Rabbi Yeshua of Sichnin, the same name of Levi, said mikarat olame. From here you learn. This is the rule that appears a number of times in Shas. Kol achoshei chaveru b'davar. Anybody who suspects his friend of something, the angel, and it's not true, Loke Begufo is going to be punished with physical, something physical is going to happen to him as a punishment. Because Choshe B'Chechem is, you're going into the human being and you suspect that in him there's something wrong, evil, then you're going to feel it in your own body. So it means over here, there are two things. The man in the street doesn't have a right, Reuven doesn't have a right to suspect Shimon of having done something wrong. Even if you see something that doesn't look so good. But we will see that it depends on the following. When you see somebody doing something, and there are, the possibilities can be either it was good or it was bad. Your responsibility is to see that it was good. When we're talking about somebody who already has a great pallor of suspicion upon him, he's already proven to us that he's not a good fellow. Beware. You don't have to be a fool. This guy, this fellow, you have a right to suspect. But you're average. Having done his call on them, everybody should be judged. Look. Moshe Rabbeinu had cast aspersions on the Jewish people. Now, I don't want to go into long shiur, one of the golden oldies, where I interpreted that statement by Moshe Rabbeinu in a completely different way. I can tell it to you in one sentence. I usually take an hour and a half to say it, but watch this. I'm going to condense it down into Moshe at the snare spent 7 long days arguing with God. What does God want of him? Go rescue my people, save them. We would have expected that any Jew to whom God appears and says, go take my people out of Egypt, wouldn't hesitate for a moment. He would run to Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there for 7 long days. And he keeps coming up with excuse after excuse. One after another. All sorts of excuses. God knocks each one of them down. And the last and fifth refusal is when he says, Shlach lo v'yad tishlo, God Almighty, send anybody you want. Not me. You know what that means? That means, I don't want to go. Why? Because. Oh, because why? Because I don't want to go. Why doesn't he want to go? Why doesn't he want to go? That's the big question. Why doesn't he want to go?
He's afraid they won't believe him. The people would not believe him.
Oh. Why won't they believe him? Why does he think they won't believe him? So I'll tell you why. For 40 or more years now, there's only one Jew in the whole world who is not suffering with his people in Egypt. One. And that one is Moshe. Moshe is living in Midian. He's married well. Kushel Mishpucha. Most probably Yitro gave him a dira, and he took care of him. He has a job. He's a shepherd. He must even have a chalil. And he must sit by still waters and place his chalil. He's living quite a life, you understand? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God, for heaven's sake, the Beishlam, I'm the only Jew in the world that they won't believe. This is where I learned Pshat in the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't saying the Jewish people are not believers. He's saying, I'm the only one they won't believe. I'm the only one that hasn't been here. You know what he's really saying? He's saying for Ben Shalom, any Jew in the world is more worthy of being their savior. Because every other Jewish person in the world is there with his brothers and sisters suffering. He's saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, take a Jew with a number on his arm. Let him be the one who saves the Jewish people. Of course, Rabbeinu Shalom's response is going to be, listen, Moshe, they haven't forgotten that you were the first one to stand up for them. The first one who struck a blow for Jewish freedom. They knew that you had to flee from Mitzrayim because Jews had betrayed you and you had to run for your life. So I interpret the pasuk Hein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'kol li means, God, they believe. There's only one person in the world they won't believe. Hein lo ya'aminu li. They're not going to believe me. Lo yishmu, they're not going to listen b'koli in my voice. So I'm going to have a problem, of course, with this Medrash. Do you know what I think the Medrash says? There's no question about it. Moshe never really doubted the strength and the greatness and the belief of the Jewish people. Maybe he should have said it differently. Maybe he should have said, Li lo ya'aminu, b'koli lo yishmu. If he would have said it that way, it could have been understood clearly as meaning that me, they're not going to believe, don't believe anybody else. But that's what he said. That's not what he said. He said, Hein lo ya'aminu li, which could easily mean, you know, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. And for that little sentence all that could be misunderstood, that's also, for Moshe, that's considered casting an aspersion on the Jewish people. All right, that was off the topic. Let's go. Anyway, so we learned... So then the Gemara over there is Shaul Gamliel Zuga Shaul L'Reb Yossi Barebi Bun. Of those three psukim that were brought from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, which one expresses the idea most clearly that one has to be Yotze and make sure that he is pure in the eyes of God and man? So he said to him, V'hiyitem nikiyim me'Hashem Yisrael. Man has to make sure that he's clean in the eyes of God and man. So we have Moshe. The second, of course, is... we'll go in order as I have it here. In the Sechta Yuma. I'm going to start moving quickly. The Kohen Gadol who is going to serve on Yom Kippur is quarantined for a period of 7 days before Yom Kippur, during which time he remains clean and pure, and he studies how to do all the service in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, because he's the only one who's permitted to do it. And then Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, he's brought before Beis Din. I'll read the Mishnah. Misaru ziknei bedin ziknei kuhuna. Elders of the court put him before the sages amongst the Kohanim, v'helu beit Aftinas, and they took him up to the Aftinas family chamber, v'hishbiyu. They made him swear, the Kohen Gadol, the holiest of all Jews, they made him swear, v'niftaru v'holchu, and then they left. Niftaru v'holchu lahem. They administered an oath to him. V'amalo, what was the oath they said to him? Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol. Onu shluchei Beis Din, we are the agents of the court. Va'ato shlucheinu, you are our agent. Ushliach Beis Din, and you are the agent of the court. Mashbin onu alecho b'misha shikei shlo v'abayit hazeh. We charge you with an oath by him who lives, whose name lives in this house. Shelo tishaneh dovar mikol asher amaru lecho. When you do the service on Yom Kippur, don't change a thing from what we have taught you. And you know what happened after that? He turns to the side and cries, and they turn to the side and cry. And the Gemara is going to explain he cries because they suspected him. They assumed that there might be a possibility that he's not going to do the service in the Beit HaMikdash as he should. And they cry because, unfortunately, they had to suspect him. And the Gemara is going to say, because Choshen Pichenim Loker Begufo, somebody who's Choshed, a person who's a fine person, is going to be punished for it. But they had to do it because it was the period of the second Beit HaMikdash when there were those Kohanim Gedolim who didn't do it the way it should be done. There were the Tzedukim who rejected many of the edicts of the rabbis. So that's the Kohen Gadol. Now I'm going to take you to complete a complete turnaround. Number five. Lo'olam yehid kol adam ve'necho kelistim. Ve'hem v'chavdan k'rabin gamliel. Is this a 360, 180 switch around turn? Every person should be being your eyes like a gadda. But you should respect him as though he's Rabban Gamliel. You know what's happening over here? The Gemara over here is taking us, bringing us a little back to the world of reality. Let's put it this way. There's the idea of looking at people that they're honest, they're good, they're fine. There are two deviations. One deviation is that you believe everybody and you trust everybody. And you know what happens if you do that? As Leo DeRocher said, good guys end up last. Because this fellow who suspects no one is living in a dream world. They're going to rip him off every step of the way. There's another possibility. The other possibility is to suspect everybody. Then you know what? You're knocking on the doors of paranoia. That's a mental illness. There are people who walk around and they suspect everybody of everything. That means what Torah is telling us, you have to strike a balance. There is a balance. You can't go around suspecting everybody, because life on this world would come to a halt. Every day and every moment of the day, we trust all sorts of people and things. And what are you talking about? We go into a room, we put on the light. We have confidence. We believe, that the light is going to go on. Because the Chevrat Chashmal is doing their job. You open up the tap, and there's water coming out over there. Because Makarot is doing its job, and God is sending the rain down. Yes, Hashem, maybe later today we'll have some rain. Okay? Everybody trusts. We're trusting people 99% of the day, if not 100% of the day. We can't live in a world where that is full of suspicion. But then again, you can't be too trusting. And the Gemara is giving expression to this, that people should be in your eyes as though they've gotten of him, but respect them as though they're having on the hills. And who are we talking about? If it's an Adam Kosher, if it's a person who has a reputation of being an honest and good individual, there you're treading on very dangerous ground. Because Choshe betrayed him, lo kebegufo, one who Choshe, those who are. I'll tell you, I think it becomes even more important for us as Jews. This is very important. I think that we are suspected of every terrible thing in the world. We have our whole world, you understand? Oh, what this Schultz business last week? A young Palestinian in Ramallah told him that Israelis get twice as much water as Palestinians. I didn't check his facts. Then you had to wait, of course, until the articles came out saying the men don't know what he's talking about, the check and goma, we're giving them more than they are entitled to, and whatever they're lacking is because of their own inability to take the money that they've been given in order to make desalinization plants and all the rest. They don't do it, the money gets lost. We're not guilty of anything. But as far as the world is concerned, we are guilty of everything. If there was a time at which they accused us of having poisoned the wells, now they accuse us of stealing all the wells. You understand? We're accused of everything. And I think the way in which we find favor in the eyes of God is beinenu, between us. There has to be a sense of trust. I'm afraid to use the word faith. The Rav used to say, faith is something you have only in God and not in man. I remember, I had said this once, I remember him crying out, why didn't I run into the streets of Boston during the Shoah and cry out as Mordechai did of old in Shushan Abira? He says, you know why? Because we had faith in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And you never have faith in any man. You can trust them, right? Never have faith. That was a terrible mistake that American Jewry made. We had faith in it. We're living in a world without trust. You can't survive in the world. Without trust, you can simply fall apart into total paranoia. Remember, who was it they said about Menachem Begin? He's paranoid. He was always talking about the Holocaust. He's paranoid. If only in the 30s Jews would have been paranoid. Oh, what a blessing that would have been. But we weren't. So Zion Yid. Convey to that Zion Yid. So here we are, let's go. We've got to move further. And the Mark brings the stories of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, one of the great Tanoim. Shoyach Sanyet. So he rented out rooms. He had a little hotel, you know. No, what do we call it? Zimmerman. Yeah, a Zimmer. And the fellow bored on the hut. A man came. Natan lo achidu shtia. He gave him to eat and to drink. Ve'aleu aliyah. And he took them up to the upper floor, and that was his room. But you know what? You know how they got up to the upper floors there? He didn't walk up steps. They had a ladder. You went up the ladder, and you came down the ladder. So anyway, here he goes up like a loft or a baidim. And you know what Rabbi Yeshua did? Not al sulam mitachta. He took the ladder away. Ma'asa Adam said, what did this man do? Omar b'chasi ha'layla, he got up in the middle of the night. Paras taliso, he spread out his cloak, and he took anything he could steal up there, and he put it into his garment, and then he goes down. Acham ve'y did he go down. He came falling down over there. There was no ladder. He came falling down. Korchon, he backed it up. Betaliso, Ubike Schlerit, he wanted to go down. Nafal, the Nishbara Mafracto, broke his neck. Leshachas in the morning, Rabbi Yeshua, Umatzo Rabbi Yeshua came and he found him over there moaning and groaning on the floor. On one day he told him, Reka, you nothing. Kach osin b'nei olam shekemosa, people like you do these things. Omai said, Lo vayiti yodeh shematal tosulam mitachtai. I fell because I didn't know that you took the ladder away. He should have told him also that he took the ladder away. I didn't know that you took the ladder. Amalei, einata yodeh sh'anu zehirin b'chom yemesh. You couldn't tell that from last night we were concerned about you. We don't know who you are. We don't know who you are. And if we don't know who you are, then you don't have, you're not a kosher. There's no prohibition of choshei b'chedim. Choshei b'chedim is when I suspect somebody who has a reputation of being a good, fine, honest individual. And then the next Gemara is intensifying the point. La'olam yukol b'nei adam chashud b'einecha. To listen, all people should be in your eyes like as though they're thieves. So Gemara says, it's not so what. But we learn al todin et chavercha. This is another Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Al todin et chavercha shetagiyon l'mekom. Don't judge a friend until you come to his place. Lo kosher kam besave kam. It can be marked, it can be shaino marked. The word saying is, no, you don't walk around suspecting everybody. If it's somebody whom you know, somebody you know, you don't suspect anybody. But somebody who's an unknown quantity, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You know, it's plain, simple, self-survival, and the intelligent. How many people fall in with Ponzi schemes? How many people give their money and invest it in all sorts of places? And the whole thing is a made-up mindset or a made-up mindset. What is it? It's happening all the time. Because sometimes greed makes us lose the sense of suspicion. God, you're going to get 25% interest. The bank gives you 1%. So who's not going to jump at that? And your eyes are blinded and you don't see. Turn over. This is very funny. Don't look at the other side. The wrong thing came out on my machine. This was last week. So I have to remember everything it says here that I had over here. You know what? This is a real crisis. I'm faced with a crisis. The next thing, how did this happen? Something, the whole machine went crazy this morning. All right. But no. Famous Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says over there, Kama hilchasa gavrasa ike lemashmer mehane kroi dechano. The psukim of Chana, beginning of Sefer Shmuel, oh, there's so much to learn. And the Gemara tells there are all sorts of halachas of tefillah. How to daven, when to daven, what daven should be like, kavana. We learn it all from Chana. And one of the things over there is that she was davening, spoteho na'ot, her lips moved, but the kola lo yishomea, you couldn't hear her voice. And the Pasuk says, Vayachshevel Eli Lishikora. Eli thought that she was drunk. And he commented to her. And according to the Gemara, she responded to him and she said, No, not true. It's not true, I'm not drunk. I'm Isha Shat Ruach. I'm a woman with a heavy, heavy heart. I'm praying for a child. I'm not drunk. So the Gemara says a number of things. First of all, the Gemara says, if you know that somebody suspects you of something, your responsibility is to correct the impression. As we've been saying, you don't just walk away and say, let that fella think whatever he wants. I know the truth. No! You have to tell them it's not true. A little nicer if it's ugly. And she said to him, according to the Gemara, Lo Odom Atopetovazeh, you are not master of this situation. You don't really know what's happening over here. I'm not drunk. I'm a woman who's suffering, and I'm praying to God. So the Gemara says, first of all, that you're not permitted to let something like this go by without remarking and commenting. No. It's not true. And second, the Gemara says that Eli responded by saying, giving her the bracha, Yitain Hashem Shelotech, let God give you that which you have asked from him. And on that, the Gemara says, from him we learn that if you are Hoshek B'Kshedim, if you do suspect somebody of something that's not true, you have a responsibility to appease them and bless them. You can't let it just go. You have a responsibility to appease him. See, here we have. But then we have other things in Torah. When Avram comes to Mitzrayim, and when Avram comes to Avimelech, and then Yitzhak is going to do the same thing, they tell their wives, say you're my sister, and not, we're not married. And then when Avimelech, for example, casts Yitzhak or Avram, oh, you know, what could have happened over here? Terrible thing, we thought she's your sister, we know she's your wife. So Avram says, and Yitzhak says it, Rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. There is no fear of God in this place. And if there's no fear of God, I have the right to suspect you of the worst things. So there's a balance. There's a balance. Moshe Rabbeinu expresses the idea that you can't let a suspicion just go by. If you're sure that somebody suspects you of something, if you're sure, then you have to speak up. Don't walk around like the great martyr who's going to let them say whatever they want about you and do nothing and say nothing. No. You have to speak up and you have to say it clearly. By the way, I think that's the only justification for the members of Knesset that got up over there and attacked Schultz. You suspect this is something that's not true. We're going to tell you straight out. Not true. Shaker. And we have to be able to say that. I think one of our problems over here may be that we haven't said our truth as loud enough and as open enough as we should. So here is this. So here it is. Wait, two things. So number one, we'll be talking about, yes, trust and not to suspect something of wrongdoing if there's no logical reason to do so is prohibited. You can't do it. And there's punishment, and the punishment comes. So there's this, you need balance. Too much trust, you're finished. Too much suspicion, you're finished. Between being naive and childlike on one side and suffering a real mental illness of paranoia on the other. The only ones who have a right to be paranoid is the Jewish people. If a guy in the Shugan in Iran says he's going to destroy Israel, you know what we have to do? We have to believe every word that he says. At the end, on a good note, I see Rivka Siegel. Is that Rivka Siegel back there?
Not way back here, yeah.
Rivka Siegel. I just want to mention a... I'm afraid I am a coward, and I just want to mention a brief conversation that I had with her last night, and that was that I'm not going to be here next week, you understand? And it's a very important mission that I'm on, a mission of, Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, I feel very badly not being here. But she is going to make sure that you're going to have, they say, the fellow that Rabbi Kowalski last time was excellent. Yes. Excellent. There are good people in this city, and there are many good people on staff here in the Israel Center. So come to learn next week. And then for the following week, which will be the Shir before Purim, Yitz Hashem, I'll be here. Thank you.
Are you going to the band now?
Yeah.